when I was 17, 16 or 17, I don't remember which, I was driving on my way to school, and I was listening to a morning DJ show. I don't know what morning DJ show it is. They're all kind of the same. But I was listening to this morning DJ show, and they had a guest, and this guest was a very talented musician, a rock star of some kind. Again, I was 17. I don't remember all the details, but I think you guys can follow me. And this guy who's currently a rock star said that when he was a kid, there was a musician that he idolized. He was somebody, he learned how to play every one of his licks. I'm sure, Marty, you know how this goes. He learned every one of his licks. He knew how to play everything he did. He sat there and listened to his music. Because this guy was old enough that it was really, they didn't have the internet, you know, and you couldn't just look up all the tabs and everything, and he had to listen to the radio, and he had to sit there and try to copy it, and it took him, he had to buy the records and try to copy all the licks, but he did it, and he learned it. He learned the whole guy's whole repertoire. He idolized him. And then he met him. And he didn't idolize him anymore. And this guy apparently was such a big jerk that this guy, this very talented musician who had spent years learning and mastering everything this guy could do on the guitar, he said he never really played his music ever again. And one of the hosts, one of the DJ, the one of the hosts of the show said, "Well, that's why they say never meet your heroes." Now you guys, I'm sure, everybody in this room has heard that expression. Never meet your heroes. Never meet your heroes. Let's turn to Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, in beginning, in verse 18, we read, "Then Jesus came to them," that is the disciples, "and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" Has anybody in here ever been disillusioned by a hero? Does anybody in here have somebody that they really looked up to? They really thought this person was great. They idolized them, and then they either met them or they found out about them, and they found out that this person really wasn't worthy of all that hype, all the hero worship. Has anybody ever been like that? Anybody ever had that experience? Marty, you're nodding your head. Who was it? You can't tell me? Okay. It wasn't Sherry, was it? Okay, so it wasn't Sherry. But has anybody else ever experienced that? There was somebody that they just admired. You looked up to this person so deeply, so much, and then you met them, or you found out the truth about them, and you couldn't admire them anymore. It was just too hard. Has anybody ever had that? No one's going to nod their heads? Okay, so, all right, but thank you, Deanne. That's probably true. But I think all of us, to some degree or another, all of us have been disillusioned. All of us have had somebody or something or some idea that we had in our heads, something that we looked up to, that we admired, that we thought was great and glorious and good, and then we found out that it wasn't. And disillusionment is one of the worst feelings in the world. It's really miserable to be disillusioned. To build up your hopes, to set your sights on something that you think is great, and then find out that it's crap. It's a miserable experience. And that's why there's that phrase, never meet your heroes. Now, the phrase never meet your heroes is either really, really wise or really, really foolish. It depends on who's saying it, I think. Because, like I said, it's either really, really wise or it's really bad advice. Now, if it's really wise advice, this is what it means. If when somebody tells you never meet your heroes, they mean, listen, friend, everybody's got feet of clay. There is no human being that you can admire, that you can look up to, that you can hero worship. There's no human being that you can set up on a pedestal and not be disillusioned by. Everyone will disappoint you. Everyone will disappoint you. Let me say it again in case this hasn't happened to you in your life yet. Everyone will disappoint you. In fact, if you talk to a psychologist, they'll tell you that a lot of the problems in life are from people that never got over the fact that their parents disappointed them. Fortunately, my children have gotten over that. They've realized I can be quite a disappointment. Right? But every person will disappoint you. And if the phrase, never meet your heroes, means, hey, if you want to worship somebody, just don't meet them because they will disappoint you. That's a true statement, and that's a wise statement. But if what they mean is, hey, it's better off to never meet your heroes because then you can go on living in a fantasy and worshiping that person and admiring that person and thinking that this person is all that in a bag of chips. Well, then it's really foolish advice because then you're living in a make-believe world. You're thinking that there are perfect people or they're great and wonderful people, that there are people worthy of that kind of adulation and admiration when really there aren't. Because it's really a question of worthiness, isn't it? We give this hero worship, whether it's a rock star or a business tycoon or some politician or whoever it is, a family member we really admire, maybe the pastor of a church, I won't even go there. But there are people that we look at and we admire. We have worth for them. We give them worth. We admire them. And not only are there people whom we treat as heroes because we admire them, there are people we treat as heroes because we imitate them. We want to be like them. My kids have a song that they really like. Phineas, finish this line for me. If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Dressed up, dressed up like a million-dollar trooper, trying hard to look like. What's the next part? Super duper. Okay, right. So what's that song about? That song, Putting on the Ritz, it was an old Irving Berlin song. And by the way, I think the Irving Berlin, the original one, is actually even better than, but never mind. We don't need to worry about that. But what's that song about? The song is about putting on your fanciest clothes, your best duds, if you like that expression, and looking like all the rich people that go to the Ritz. That's why when you look at pictures from the Depression, you know, and maybe, or even if you don't look at those, if you watch like cartoons from the 1940s, the old Looney Tunes, what do you always see with the bums and the hobos? The hobos are wearing like beat up tuxedos with like dingy white gloves and top hats that have, you know, somebody popped the hat out. Why? Because they wanted to look like the rich people. They wanted to imitate the wealthy. Obviously, they weren't doing a very good job of it, but that's the whole thing. You dress up like a million-dollar trooper trying hard to look like Gary Cooper. Because he's super duper, right? You imitate somebody whom you admire. They set Gary Cooper up as this kind of hero. And it's like, well, I want to look like that guy. Heroes are people that we admire. Heroes are people that we imitate. I coached baseball for many years. I was around baseball my whole life. My dad was a varsity coach. I coached with my dad. I umpire now. And I will tell you, it is very easy to tell the difference between the kids who grew up listening to baseball on the radio and the kids who grew up watching baseball on TV. Because the kids who grew up watching baseball on TV, this is how they come up to the plate. Then they step out of the box. That's how they act, because that's what they see the big leaguers doing. Which, by the way, the state of Ohio is like, no, they start doing that, you just call a strike on them. Like, stay in the box. Like, we're not doing this crap anymore. But that's not the point. The point isn't about baseball rules. The point is we imitate our heroes. We try to look like them. We try to act like them. More than that, we try to be them. Heroes are not just people we admire. Heroes are not just people whom we imitate. Heroes are people we try to be like and become. We try to become our heroes. We try to be like them. We try to be them. We want so badly to be like our heroes, but that question we come back to is this: are they worthy of it? Are the heroes whom we've chosen, are they worthy of our admiration? Are they worthy of our imitation? Are they worthy of trying, of desiring to be like them and to be them? Are they worthy of it? Because whatever you say is worthy, whatever you say is worthy is something you worship. That's where the word worship comes from. Maybe people don't know that, but that's where the word comes from. The word worship means worthship. It's something you say, you ascribe worth to. You say that this is worthy of my worth. This has worth to it. That's what worship means. And there are two kinds of worship. There's capital W worship, which is the worship we give to God. It's the ultimate worship. We say that God is the ultimate who is worthy of admiration, of imitation, of desiring to be and become like God. God is, has that capital W worship. But then there's lowercase w worship. There's the kind of worship that we can actually give to other people, and it's not a sin. It's not a sin to give a certain kind of worship to other people because we're paying respect to worth that they have. In fact, if you read, and I don't know why you ever would, but if you read the old English marriage ceremony, the Anglican marriage ceremony, there's this line in it. With my body, I thee worship. And the bride and the spouse, or the bride and the groom, say this to each other. With my body, I thee worship. I worship you with my body. That's what they're saying. They're saying, and the Church of England said that it's okay. There are certain kinds of worship that is okay to give to another person. And in fact, in the Bible, Jesus straight up says, and I think Jim remembers it because we talked about it in the Revelation series. There is a part when Jesus tells John that he will force the Jews to come and worship at the feet of the Christians, and they will say, "We recognize that God has been with you." Read the Bible. What do people do? People come before a king, and what do people in the Bible do when they come before a king? They bow down. Bowing down is a form of worship. Now, we don't think of it that way because we're good Christians, but that's what it is. The word bow down, the New Testament word for worship is proskuneo. It means to bow down. It means to be like a dog. People offer this to kings. People offer this to priests. People offer this to people of great worth. It's not always bad. It's not always idolatry. It can be. Yes, it can be, but it isn't always. Sometimes it's good. And in fact, not only is it good, Jesus commands us. We're told to rise in the presence of the aged. We're commanded to give respect to people who are worthy of respect. The Bible commands us, read Romans 13, we're commanded to give honor to whom honor is due. If people have honorific titles, we should use them. If people are worthy of respect, we should give them respect. Let me take us one step further. So far, I think everybody's with me. Let me take one step further. We're now going to go into a place where you might really be uncomfortable with what I'm saying. But brothers and sisters, I believe that this is true. These are things I've been studying and working on and trying to find a way to say for 10, 12 years. I want to say this. I want to say it very clearly. I want to say it very carefully. But I think this will help us. I believe it will. Anything that you admire, you worship. Anyone whom you admire, you worship. Now, I'm not saying you idolize them. I'm not saying you turn them into an idol. I'm saying you give them worth. You pay respect to the worth that they have. Anything you admire, anyone you admire, you worship. Anyone you imitate, you worship. Anyone you desire to be or become, you worship. Now, again, this is not always idolatry. It can be idolatry, absolutely, it can be. But it isn't always. People admire and imitate others who are worthy of admiration and imitation. That's true. That's the whole thing about parenting, right? You want your kids some of the time to act like you. You want your kids some of the time to act like your spouse. Sometimes they do it a little too much, right? But most of the time, that's what we want. It's okay to admire others. It's okay to imitate others. It's okay to want to be like others. But that is a form of worship. But the one to whom all of our admiration, imitation, and desire to be and become like is Jesus. That's what we've been building to over these last couple weeks. Because Genesis tells us that the man and the woman were made in the image of God. In the image and likeness of God. God made them. But we don't know what that means. Not until we get to the New Testament. When we get to Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. And we find that Jesus is the image of God. Thank you, Earl. Jesus is the image of God. Adam and Eve, man and woman, the human race was made to look like Jesus. Jesus is the one. All the way from creation, Jesus is the one to whom we're supposed to give our admiration. We're to admire Jesus. We're to imitate Jesus. We're to desire to be and become like Jesus. That is the one we should hero worship. Jesus is the one whom we should ultimately desire to be like, to become, to give all of our admiration, all of our imitation to, because Jesus is the image of God. He is the perfect representation of the Father. In Him, all the fullness of deity dwells. If you have seen Him, you have seen the Father. That's what Jesus tells us. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. Look at me and I will show you how to be like the Father. Jesus is the one we admire. Jesus is the one we imitate. Jesus is the one we desire to be and become like. We want to be like Jesus. But brothers and sisters, here's the problem. The disciples, they walked around with Jesus. They knew Jesus. They met with Him. They ate with Him. They touched Him. They walked with Him. They wept with Him. They laughed with Him. They went fishing with Him. They saw His miracles. They saw what He did. They heard His teaching with their own ears. They saw Him with their own eyes. They embraced Him with their own hands and bodies. He washed their feet. They knew Jesus. He was there in the flesh. And the apostles learned how to imitate Jesus. They knew Him. You know, has anybody ever done this? I remember when I was a kid. I learned by the sound of the footsteps who was coming up the stairs. Didn't have to see Him. I just knew from their footsteps. Anybody else ever do that? Amanda's nodding. Yeah, you know how to do it, right? You just learn. You can see, has anybody ever been somewhere and you had, you know, maybe your husband or your wife, you didn't know what they were wearing, but you were able to pick them out of a crowd just by watching how they walked from a distance? Yeah. We get to know people. We get to know their gait. We get to know their manner of speech. We get to know them. The apostles had that with Jesus. The disciples had that with Jesus. They saw Him and they were able to imitate Him. You think for one moment that Peter, James, John, and all the other boys, that they didn't try to imitate the way Jesus did things? Absolutely they did. They were disciples. That's how the Jews did it. That's why they say, Lord, teach us how to pray. They wanted Jesus to teach them everything. They wanted to be like Jesus. But here's the problem. Where's Jesus today? Wow, I'm getting a lot of different answers. Okay, they're all true answers. He's in heaven. He's in the church. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He is dwelling in among us. God is here among us. Soul in silence fear Him, and in humbleness draw near Him. Jesus is here among us. But Jesus is also ascended into heaven. The only way we can know what Jesus looks like, the only way that we can learn to imitate Jesus, the only way we can learn to be and become like Jesus is by watching other people who are like Jesus. Remember what I said 2 weeks ago and last week? I said people like Jesus or Christ-like people make people like Christ. People who look like Jesus are able to help others look like Jesus. That's what discipleship is. We are on a 2,000-year recycle, repeat. For 2,000 years, people who have been looking at Jesus taught other people how to look like Jesus, taught other people how to look like Jesus, taught other people how to look like Jesus, taught other people how to look like Jesus. That's what's been going on for 2,000 years, friends. For 2,000 years, from the apostles and the disciples, people have observed Jesus and they've said, this is what God looks like. This is what the image of God is. This is what is worthy to admire and imitate and become like. And they've said, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be like Jesus. And then they taught others how to do the same thing. Oh, brothers and sisters, I know we do it imperfectly. Never meet your heroes, right? Never meet your heroes. We're going to mess up. I fail. I'm frail. We all have feet of clay. But we're able to give people some of it. And the more like Christ we are, the more we can show Christ to the world. We already do this in life. Everybody's a disciple of something. Everybody's a disciple of something. Everybody worships something. Everybody worships someone. The question is who. It's not a question of whether you worship. It's what do you worship and whom do you worship. Everybody's a disciple of something. Now, you might be a disciple of Pioneer Woman Cooking, and that's fine and well. She's pretty funny. Not on TV. She's really funny in writing, but anyways, that's neither here nor there. But you might be a disciple of Maria Kondo and sparking joy in your life. My wife's giving me dirty looks right now. You might be a disciple of Jimi Hendrix. It doesn't matter. You might be a disciple of anything. But ultimately, we must become disciples of Jesus Christ, because when we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we can help others to be disciples of Jesus Christ. When we bear the image of God, when we become like Jesus, when we more fully live out the image of God, when we see what is admirable and imitable and desirous about Jesus, and then we be and become that, we are able to show a watching world what is worthy of admiration and imitation and desire to become like. We can do it. This is what we are called to do. That's why we're told by Jesus in Matthew, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything. Jesus does not say, hey, I've got all authority in heaven and in earth. You know what I'm going to do? Pop. I'm going to clap my hands, snap my fingers, and then there are going to be people like Jesus. Does he say, hey, you know what I'm going to do, guys? I've got all authority, so I'm going to give a Bible, and people are just supposed to read their Bible, and then they'll figure it out on their own. No. He tells his apostles to go and make disciples. That command has not changed in 2,000 years. We, the disciples, are to make disciples. The purpose of the church is to disciple disciples to disciple disciples. We become more like Jesus so we can help others become more like Jesus. That is our purpose. And this is what we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about, what that looks like. In future weeks and months, we are going to talk about how, specifically how, we can look like Jesus. How, specifically how, we can be disciples of Jesus and how we can help others look like Jesus. We're going to talk about the virtues. The virtues, courage, faith, hope, humility, kindness, joy, self-control. We're going to talk about these things. We're going to talk about how Jesus exemplifies them, how humans have imitated it, and how we can bear those virtues, how we can be virtuous and lead others into virtue, because that is our purpose, brothers and sisters, to live virtuously and to show others what Christ looks like through our lives. That's our calling. It's a high calling. It's a glorious calling. It's a lot of work. But God will reward us for our work. We are called to be like Jesus and to help others become like Jesus. We bear the image so people can see the image and admire it and imitate it and desire to become like it. That's our calling. That's our purpose. And that's the end of this sermon. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the task you've given us. We thank you for this job you've given us, this incredibly weighty responsibility, this incredibly challenging but rewarding task of being your ambassadors, of being like you, so that the world can see you through us. Lord, we cannot live up to this. Lord, we all have feet of clay. We are all frail. We all fail. We are all sinners. We stumble and we fumble. But Lord, we pray that you will help us, you will strengthen us for the journey, and you, by your Holy Spirit, will help us to look like you, to be like you, and to lead others to becoming like you as well. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.